sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW.
Welcome to the party! Oh my God, thanks for coming, Sammy!
NXT.
It's over! Our process here to ransack NXT souls!
And indie wrestling. It's Wednesday night, Dynamite.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait. And now, your host, Don Tony.
Wow, what an awesome night, man. Seriously. To my New York homeboys, Brian Becerra, Eddie Valentino, who are actually at the event right now, much love to all of you. Welcome to Wednesday Night Dynamite. I am Don Tony, and I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight. Now, look, you know me. I am not one to tweet bang. I don't live on Twitter. I like to engage with all of you. I like to talk to my friends. I don't try to make catchy, passionate posts to get the attention of the whole social media. And oh, look, 400 people like my comment. So when I say things, it's really coming from here. And here. Morning. Oh, yeah. Like my shirt. You want a war? You got one. Yeah. Listen, man. You got 20,177 wrestling fans packing into Queens, New York to watch AEW for 2 hours, paying prime money to see, what, five matches? And having the time of their goddamn lives. That's when you know you got something. I'm not exaggerating when I say this. And yes, Dynamite went off the air not even 5 minutes ago. I mean, it literally just went off the air. Tonight, tomorrow, during the day, I'll think about it a little bit more. So right now, this might be jumping the gun, but I don't think so. That crowd during the Daniel Bryan, excuse me, force of habit, Bryan Danielson versus Kenny Omega match. The last time I heard a crowd that loud, that engaged for that amount of time was Hulk Hogan and The Rock from WrestleMania. Not kidding. Not kidding. I mean, I know Chicago went batshit when CM Punk made his return, and they had every right to do so. And that crowd was loud and proud, and it was something to remember. But tonight, in my opinion, maybe because I'm a New Yorker, I'm a homeboy, maybe because they're only about 10 minutes from my house, but they just took it to a different level tonight. All night long. You know, I have people actually saying to me, seriously, and I say this with respect. I don't mock people who support me. I might disagree with you. I might joke a little bit, but I don't mock you and I don't disrespect you. Sure. Oh, thank you. 20,500 and growing. Shout out to the Donzilla Army. It has to be perfect. By the way, tonight we are going to do a Guess the Ratings contest. Everybody who is in the live chat on YouTube can participate. To my friends who are on Facebook and Twitch and Twitter and some other places right now, you'll be able to play later. You're just going to have to swing by YouTube for a couple of moments. I will give everybody a five-minute warning when we're going to do the contest. And I'll give you the instructions now if you did not play last time. And I'm going to give a little bit of advice for anybody that wants to play. By the way, the prize we're going to give away today, one winner will get an AEW Bryan Danielson cert, an AEW Bryan Danielson cert, Why am I getting tongue-tied? An AEW Bryan Danielson shirt. You know, it is sun and shirt. Say that fast 10 times. And a CM Punk AEW shirt. And since I still got a couple of these, Mark Anderson, you interrupted me, goddammit. Thank you, Mark. I had this shirt for quite some time. Look, man, you give the fans what they want. You don't have to give them every little thing they want, but all you have to do, seriously, all you have to do is show that you listen. You know, that's one of the things. Now, look, WWE is a billion-dollar company. They are episodic television. They tell a story. They build feuds that could last months. AEW, I've used this analogy before, and I think it's more important than ever. WWE with their storylines is someone who gets a weekly paycheck, puts some of it in the bank, and little by little builds up a little nest egg. And then in the future, they may go out and buy something, a car, a house, whatever, go on a trip. AEW is like a lot of us that we get paid on Friday night. That some bitch is spent by Saturday morning. You just want to blow it all and have a great goddamn time and not think about the future. That, to me, is AEW in a nutshell. And you know what? There is nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong with that. See, and we'll get to the contest instructions in a moment. I want to prove a point. You know, I understand there are people out there that like to throw insults and they think that they got some catchy, you know, vibes to it until it gets thrown back in their face. Case in point, what about all those people on Monday? This is how to be a goof. This is how to be a goof, okay? If anyone out there that wanted to learn how to be a goof, I know what some people are going to say, just do what D'Antoni does and you're a goof. Yes, I am a goof sometimes. I admit it. But how many of you Monday watch the whiny heinies out there? Oh, my God. How do you do the Bloodline versus the New Day to open up Raw? Oh, my God. A curtain fucking jerker. What's wrong with them? How can you do something stupid like that? You open up Raw? What the fuck's wrong with you? And then tonight, this is epic. This is amazing. They're opening up with this. I'm literally crying right now. I have chills up my spine. Shut up. Just be a goddamn wrestling fan. Enjoy it. I've said this so many times on these shows. I don't care what match starts the show, ends the show. Give me what I want. Entertain me. It's not difficult. Don't give me this hot shot shit. Hot shot your ass. You're entertained. Wrestling is doing what it's supposed to do. Entertained. I joked about this on Monday. Imagine a kid at home. Daddy, I want to go to Raw. Come on, Daddy. I want to see the New Day versus the Bloodline.
Well, son, they should have done that at Survivor Series. They hotshot it. The answer is no.
The fuck is wrong with you? Just enjoy it. And the match ended up kicking ass. And tonight, Bryan Danielson versus Kenny Omega. I do like to toot my own horn. And yes, I do outdated movie references. You remember Monday night, Mish and I had a little convo about Bryan Danielson versus Kenny Omega. And once again, I threw out the Rocky One comment and please, people, do not challenge me to go get the video set, the clip from Monday. I will put it on the intro for every show for the next 2 weeks. And I'm not the only person that said this, but tonight should be like Rocky One, ends in a draw, and like Apollo Creed, Kenny Omega says, ain't gonna be no rematch. Ain't gonna be no rematch. Remember that on Monday? AEW did exactly what they should have done tonight. I don't think fans would have been as happy if they went off the air with that main eventing tonight ending in a draw. You closed out Rocky One in 1976 that way. You can't do that in 2021. I don't care what opens up the shows. I don't care what closes the shows. As long as you give me a great show, that's all I want. We are not even out of COVID yet. We have had 22 months of COVID, and there's still big numbers of people dying. There are more cases in a lot of states here in the United States than there was a year ago, and there was no vaccine a year ago. There are people still getting very sick from it, dying from it. And how many of you out there remember earlier this year? Expect WWE to go back to Thunderdome. Expect AEW to go back to Daly's place and not tour. And I got so angry at those people. Reckless, clickbait. Just enjoy what you're watching. Because 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, you're going to look back at this, and it's going to bring back fond memories. You don't think I wanted to go tonight? Of course I wanted to go. And by the way, I got to mention this, and you will see some pictures in the near future because we took some, and I expect a few of my good friends out there to upload it. Today, this was pretty cool. Today I got a DM just to share with everybody. It has to do it today with AEW. I get a DM today at like around 12:30. Hey, DT, are you going to AEW tonight? And I'm like, no, you already know I'm not going. And, you know, person is like, where are you right now? I said, I'm in my office. Why? Oh, no reason. You going to be there for a little while? Now I'm getting a little nervous because I don't mind when some people stop by and say hello. Just let me know beforehand. You know, because my business is my business. I don't like commingling it. So around 1:30 in the afternoon, my office door, I look and I see four guys standing by the door. And I see, look, we're 80-degree weather still. So they're wearing wrestling T-shirts at the door. And I'm like, oh, I got fans showing up at my office. Oh my God, if customers walk in, because a lot of my customers don't know anything about the wrestling stuff. I showed one female customer about 15 years ago the spot with me with the thumbtacks and everything. I thought I was impressing her. I thought I was showing off. And she stood there and she watched. She hated it. I felt like a goof. So anyway, Mike, Sam, John, and Manuel, three of those four, you always socialize in the chat room. They surprised me at my office today. Since I wasn't going to AEW to hang out with all of you, they decided to come to my office and hang out with me. So we went to Bruno's restaurant on Cross Bay Boulevard, and we had lunch. And we ate like freaking pigs. We ate like pigs. I could do the Kamala right now. That's how stuffed I am. They hung out, and I thought that was awesome. And shout out to them. But like I said, you know, I really wanted this to be like a huge get together. But I'm sorry, man. You know, I've been doing this. This is going to be my 25th year coming up, you know. And I don't ever ask for press passes or anything like that. But I'm like, hey, I'm going to go there. Let's go and do it right. Let's cover it. You know, get a press pass. It wasn't about getting freebies. It's never about getting freebies. And when you don't even respond to three requests, I'm like, all right, AEW, I get the picture. I got the picture in Chicago twice. I get the picture in my hometown 10 minutes away. I'm not going to spend money. Not going to spend money by going there with the tickets and everything. Some of my friends in website and podcasting land for years and years and years, oh my God, we got to all get together. We got to do this, get that. Not one of them reached out to me. Hey, DT, you coming? We're going to be all over here. Why don't you hang out? Tell me what is so like it, that. Why? Because people out there might make a fuss because I'm there and they want all that to themselves. So I'm like, no, man, I'll enjoy it from my house and enjoy it with all of you. Period. So anyway, the contest tonight, simple. in a little bit, because look, we have five matches today. I'm not going to sit here and do play-by-play for each match. I'm just going to give you my overall thoughts on it. And if you haven't watched AEW's Dynamite tonight, Grand Slam, my recommendation, definitely check it out. You will love it. If you get upset at the fans reacting the way they do, go watch tennis. Seriously. Just go watch tennis. When someone starts to go, this is all, shh. Go do this. Do this for 30 minutes. Out. My man. Any of you out there that are wrestling fans, you got your favorites. You have your heroes that you never got to meet in person. And imagine you finally get to see people that you always loved performing. And you get to go, and they're kicking ass. You mean to tell me that you can't get into the moment and just be energetic and love it? Those fans were not chanting tonight just so they can impress each other. This isn't like what Ring of Honor was in 2006 when people would, you know, just do these chants to just try to, like, put the spotlight on themselves and impress a lot of the ladies over there, for the heterosexual crew, I should say. Sean KB says, there's a girl named Denise on Twitter who's all about networking and helping out wrestling shows. She should have reached out to me. I don't know who it is. She probably doesn't even know who I am either. I mean, I'm not this legend. Let's make that clear. SRH John, really amazing AEW Dynamite show. Some of you will have the opportunity to call in today, because I had quite a few of you say, ADT, take some calls tonight. I want to call in and just say how fucking awesome AEW Dynamite was tonight. So yes, later on, I will take some calls. Let's keep the conversation on Dynamite. So anyway, let's get into the rules and let's talk about this. And I want to make one comment about NXT, that it's a shame that so many people are overlooking it from Tuesday, in my opinion. The contest is simple. In a short amount of time from now, I'm not going to make you all wait an hour, hour and a half. In a very short amount of time, I am probably going to just type something in the chat room, like the word go or something like that. And in the chat room, all you're going to do, we'll leave it open for like a minute. Shouldn't take more than a minute or two for you to type in a number. All you have to do is predict AEW's rating for tonight. That's it. Now, and do not wait for other people to post their choices, because if you get the closest to the AEW rating, if you're the first person, because you might, let's say you choose 1,650,000, just using a crazy number. If you write 1,650,000, but someone else wrote that number before you, well, guess what? You lose. Whoever comes closest first wins, period. So I know some people, their strategy last time is, let me sit and let me watch what everybody else is putting down, and then let me be slick and add a one to the end. This ain't the Price is Right. Bob, I bid 1,000. I bid 1,001. He wins. No, that's not how it works. Whoever comes closest first wins. That's it. Now, my advice to everyone out there that does participate, if you've never done this before, if you pay attention to the ratings every week, it's usually not a perfect number. Case in point, NXT's rating last night was 746,000. Excellent, excellent number. My God, NXT 2.0 is not so bad as everybody thought. It was dead in the water. It's doing better ratings the last 2 weeks than it's done for quite some time. But you see 746. So if you're going to choose like in the sevens, I wouldn't do like 710, 740. 760. I would do like 763, you know, 766, 695. Don't use such a round off number, because ratings like that rarely ever happen. So, but yes, a great number for NXT. Now, unfortunately, tonight we're not doing an NXT recap, because I want to spend the time on Dynamite tonight. Tomorrow we do Q&A. If you guys tuning in live tomorrow want me to talk NXT, I will spend as much time as you want. This tomorrow's show, I mean, every show is yours, but tomorrow's show, I sit back and I just look at the chat room and the super chats, and whatever you want to talk about, I talk. So that's your chance tomorrow. But I want to make this comment. What a great week for women's wrestling. Now, it's not NWA Empower. It's not WWE Evolution. But what a great week for women's wrestling. And I tell you why. Ruby Riott versus Britt Baker. Not the greatest match in quite some time. But the fans accept the fact that they were getting that match to close out the show. It was not that long ago where fans would be a little bit perturbed, like, why are we getting Ruby Riott, Ruby Soho? You know, if you notice tonight, Britt Baker obviously has a huge following because she has been with AEW from the get-go and she's been working her ass off to get better. So it wasn't going to be Ruby's hometown or anything like that, but she got a lot of props. But the fact that they closed out, which truly is the biggest AEW show in history and the biggest Dynamite in history, is a big deal. It's a big deal. Let me tell you why even more it's important for me, and not even for me, fuck me, wrestling, women's wrestling especially, because not too long ago, you would see women main eventing shows. And a lot of people would see right through it and say, oh, that's just the promoter or the company trying to make a statement. Yeah, a lot of places would do that. They're trying to make a statement. Didn't feel organic. It felt forced. Now it doesn't feel forced. It feels organic. And the fans accepted their main eventing tonight. I have zero problem with it. But why is that also a great week for women's wrestling? NXT yesterday. NXT. You know, Fed Left for Dead. They had, I might be wrong by one. They had 16 or 17 women on that show yesterday. Now, of course, not every woman wrestled. It would be a five-hour episode of NXT if that happened. But the fact that they had 16 to 17 women featured on that show yesterday is a big deal. Now, sure, you're going to see people out there, oh, it's overkill. Oh, they're just, you know, hot shining. Oh, they're just throwing shit out there. Oh, they're doing this and doing that. It's a developmental company again. Three quarters of those women are not established yet. You have to start from somewhere. So when people get annoyed at some of the match selection on NXT, you stop watching it then because it's a developmental. Do you understand what minor league is? You're trying to develop stars for tomorrow, and they're going to feature a lot of names that a lot of people haven't thought about. Look at Bron Breakker. Everybody is really enjoying Bron Breakker the last 2 weeks. I see people already. Put him on the main roster. Yeah, those are the same people that wanted Karrion Kross to main event WrestleMania take on Roman Reigns. Even Karrion Kross would say, piss, give me whatever you're smoking. The guy is on TV for 2 weeks. It's going to take a while. And as far as the Steiner name, first of all, if you look at Bron Breakker's Twitter account, what's his screen name? Bron Steiner. Everybody knows who he is. Everybody could see the way he looks, the way he dresses, the wrestling moves, the way he sounds, even the way he walks. He walks like Rick Steiner. All right? There are a lot of wrestlers over the years, if you haven't realized it, there are a lot of wrestlers over the years who have had uncles and cousins and fathers and mothers who may have been in wrestling and they didn't have their last name. So if the biggest complaint people can make is Breakker, you don't even know the origin of the name. You don't even know the origin of the name. So I enjoyed NXT. because I know what it is. It's developmental for tomorrow. Period. Period. So anyway, AEW tonight, as I said earlier, the last time I had that kind of noise going through my TV, going through me with Bryan Danielson versus Kenny Omega, the last time I heard that kind of noise for that long was The Rock and Hulk Hogan WrestleMania. Obviously, you know, two Hall of Famers, two future Hall of Famers, obviously different era, different types of wrestlers, but still, that crowd tonight was incredible. And it was awesome. And I made this comment earlier today, just to put this in perspective a little bit. I was a diehard ECW fan. I was a rabid ECW fan. I religiously watched ECW from 1993 until its close in 2001. Imagine how I felt in 2000 getting the opportunity to do a little work for them pushing tickets. Yeah, all I was doing is pushing tickets. And yes, you know, I got a little fringe benefits as a result. Imagine enjoying a company like that and being rabid for 7 years, and then in 2000, you get a message on your hotline, hey, want to do a little work for us? Man, it's like a dream come true. Just wake me up, pinch me. It was awesome. Why am I saying this tonight? At ECW's peak, which was what, Anarchy Rules 1999, the biggest audience ECW ever got was around 6,000 fans. AEW tonight more than tripled that. Let that sink in. Let that sink in. They more than tripled that tonight. I mean, you can't deny that AEW is giving a product that what fans want. Now, for some out there, there is a valid argument. You look at tonight's show, and a lot of what you saw tonight are former WWE stars, period. But, you know, as I always say, CM Punk was a star before he went to WWE. Bryan Danielson was a star before he went to WWE. Not on the level of what he became in WWE, but my point is that, you know, it's not everybody is a homegrown. Sure, they might have made their biggest fame in WWE. Of course they did. WWE is a billion-dollar company. WWE is watched in 50 countries. WWE is, you know, the biggest company in the world in wrestling. So, of course, if you get an opportunity there and you actually do well, of course that's going to be your biggest thing on your resume. No shit. But AEW right now, you know, you do see a lot of wrestlers who were there for a year, year and a half, 2 years, that are not getting the TV time. And instead, you're seeing some people leapfrog them. Well, look, no disrespect. I don't want to start naming names, but for the people out there that are a little bit upset that a lot of the homegrown AEW stars are getting pushed aside, AEW didn't draw even 10,000. When those people were getting a lot more exposure. When you see results like this, you got to go with it. You can't turn around and say, but this. No, you can't do that. Ultimately, Hangman Page will come back. And we see the challenge for AEW is, okay, where does Hangman Page fit in all of this? All right, when you see FTR tonight taking on Sting and Darby Allin, look, Sting at 62 years old, it's like opening up a bottle of wine that you let age an extra 20, 30 years. I'm not opening it. I'm not opening it. There's going to be, and then after 20, 30 years, you decide you're going to open it and it tastes better than ever. Sure, Sting at 62 is not Sting at 32, but the guy could still perform on a level that fans are willing to enjoy and accept. When you see Dax tapping out to Sting, you know, no matter how cool FTR is and how great their manager is and how they look awesome with the new attire, you know, when you actually look, ever since FTR has lost the tag belts to the Young Bucks, FTR's momentum has been dead. They had a nice feud with Santana and Ortiz, but even with that, FTR is one of those teams that you say to yourself, okay, you know, where do they fit in AEW 6 months from now, a year from now? So there are some people that ultimately are going to be moving on. You have to accept that. And if somebody moves on from AEW, it shouldn't be looked at as a step down or a step up. It's just, that's what happens in the world of pro wrestling. So anyway, man, 20,177 vaccinated fans. I had to throw that out there earlier today. Remember, you had to show proof of vaccination in order to get into the show. Cody did an interview this week, TV Insider? Because, next week, what is it called? The hell is it called? Roads to the Top? That would have been funny if Jericho used that line to Cody last week. Remember America's Top Team or whatever it is? He should cut a promo on Cody and his wife. Roads to the Top, or should it be Roads? Who's the one on top? You know, I don't know. Cody, in an interview this week, said, and I quote, "I'll retire before I turn heel." Son, a majority of 20,177 fans tonight, I guess, want you to retire. They ain't buying the Cody shit no more. Why? Because I'm telling you, that Anthony Ogogo match fucked him up. Now, looking back on it, because of Anthony Ogogo's eye condition, obviously, it might have been, you know, maybe the better decision. I don't know. But fans don't like, you know, the prince shows up. You know, people criticized me when I said that if Cody was going to face Malakai, he should have made the save for his brother Dustin, not for some woman from, you know, American Gangster or whatever it is, America's Top Talent, whatever it is, big show. You know, like, you know, Dustin, no, it's no big deal. But her, you know, he's got to walk from the Boondocks. What was he doing up there? Was he going to pose like Sting? What was he doing all the way up in Section 450? So fans are not into Cody anymore. And I'm telling you, it's backfiring. And Arn Anderson tonight, man, if there was anything to criticize about tonight, it was Cody and Arn Anderson. Brandy, even with the overacting. You know, when I was a kid in the 70s, we used to have this little toy. It was called Weeble Wobbles. Weebles. Remember? Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. For anybody that's old like me, you remember that. Well, after 40 years of believing that, tonight I found out that Weebles wobble and they do fall down. Why is Arn Anderson allowed to be standing on the apron and the referee's looking at him? He's like, Mingy, what are you doing on the ropes? Mingy, what are you doing on the apron? And it doesn't tell him to go down or nothing. Little things like that piss me off because it's bad acting and the referees don't make it any better. And then Arn Anderson just comes a tumbling down and Cody's supposed to, the fuck out of here. That segment sucked. Malakai Black spitting the mist in Cody's eyes and rolling him up for a pin. Good. Good. Crowd freaking is into Malakai Black. It seems, I think a lot of fans just feel like everything is being fed to Cody. You know, he cuts great promos. He does wrestle very, very good. But you know, a lot of people feel that he gets a little bit extra fringe benefits. And when you show up, I mean, if he wore the Roman Reigns shirt, wreck everyone and leave, you know, you have to put the extra line underneath it every 6 months. The guy wrestles almost next to nothing. And trust me, it's not, oh, I'm a part-time player, this isn't that, because it would have been a lot more emphasized. It just feels like, oh, you know, Cody wants to be part of the 20,000 fan show, the biggest show in history. I got to put my name. I'm shocked that who that wasn't on there tonight. Maybe he was during a commercial break, for all we know. Yeah, Cody pushing the ref. You know, it's that time of the month for Cody. Cody's got his, you know, his thing, as we say. It just, that whole thing was just a mess. It's just a mess. I mean, you look at that feud and it's just a mess. I mean, Cody left his goddamn boot in the ring. And, you know, he takes the boot back. And he's got a weeble wobble going on. And I love Arn Anderson, but that's just a goddamn mess. I'm looking at him standing on the apron, and the referee is not doing anything about it. And then I thought that Arn Anderson was walking to the corner so he could go down the ring steps. Because Arn is an older man now, and, you know, you do have to be careful, for real. And he goes to the corner, and I look. I'm like, there's no ring steps there. Where is he going? And then he takes the spill. The weeble wobble fell down, and it just did not look good. It done not, and not for nothing, man. You know, Malachi, how many months has Malachi been there? Think about that. Lee Johnson, Brock Anderson, and two Cody matches. I think, you know, Malachi Black is one of the most over talents in that company, and it's not just for entrance. And it just seems like, you know, where is it going with this? He took on Dustin, Lee Johnson, Brock Anderson, and Cody twice. So it's Malachi Black versus the Nightmare Family. Okay, they're all, what are we going to get next? Malachi, and even Malachi kicked Arn Anderson too. Come on, man. I think the guy, it's time to give him a little more. And Andrade, look, man, Andrade tore it up with Pac. Those two guys definitely had a chip on their shoulder that they couldn't have their match on that pay-per-view. But even Andrade, you know, you do realize now we're approaching our 15th week. 15 weeks of Andrade, Idolo, under AEW contract, 15 weeks. He's had two matches, one against Pac and one against Matt Sydal. Bryan Danielson has wrestled more minutes than Pac. Andrade. Bryan Danielson has now wrestled more minutes than Andrade, and Andrade's been there for 15 weeks. Idolo. I'm not criticizing Andrade. I said this before. Each and every one of you out there would love to have his contract. Hey, I'm showed up. What am I doing today? Oh, you're going to cut a promo. Okay. No problem. All right, next week, what are you going to do? Oh, tonight, you're going to cut two promos because next week you could stay home. Work AAA if you want. And then the week after, what are you going to do? Oh, we got something new. Did you ever cut a promo before? And this went on for almost 15 weeks now. Yeah, of course. Enjoy. Twix, enjoy. My point is, though, is, you know, some wrestlers that are kicking ass or can are just not being utilized much at all. That's going to be the big challenge with AEW. Right now, they're living in the moment, no question. But, man, some of the wrestlers you see, a lot of people were a little disappointed the way AEW went off the air tonight. They're like, okay, who's going to make the surprise run-in? Who's going to debut? Who is going to knock out Britt Baker or Ruby if she wins the belt? I saw people writing tonight, oh, Tessa Blanchard's going to debut. Or maybe they finally could have Thunder Rosa come out. Or, you know what, maybe even better, Trish Stratus. People actually wrote tonight, is Trish Stratus going to... I'm glad that AEW went off the air. Normal show. Obviously, special circumstances. Loved it. Anyway, let's get into these matches quick because we've already run 40 minutes. For those that are new to my shows, you know, my recaps, are a lot different. I like to look at everything as a whole, and we like to dissect a lot of the other incidentals and not sit here and go, you know, tornado, DDT, plancha, tope suicida. I'll tell you this much. Tonight, I know a lot of people are not the greatest Excalibur fans. One thing about Excalibur, and he showed it tonight with Bryan Danielson. Yes, Excalibur sometimes will get moves wrong. Or he'll just make up a name on the fly, and then you Google, like, I had never heard of that move before, and you Google it, and it'll just say, no results found. Did you mean this? And then you find out, like, motherfucker didn't know what the move was, and he just made up something as he goes. But tonight, Excalibur showed everyone that son of a bitch knows a hell of a lot more as far as what some of the wrestling moves are compared to your normal announcers. Seriously. I mean, look, Pat McAfee, nobody gives a shit that Pat McAfee doesn't know all the moves. They just love his energy. They just love how much he truly cares about wrestling. Pat McAfee, I can't believe it. Guy's awesome. Jimmy Smith doing a decent job on Raw. But when it comes to Excalibur and you hear him throwing out some of these moves, you know, you got to be impressed at this guy's knowledge. I mean, he really does try really hard. And I'm not the biggest Excalibur fan either. But I took notice of that tonight. He was nailing names of moves, just throwing them out there that a lot of other people would be like, what's that move called? So anyway, AEW tonight, 20,177 fans. And the opening match tonight, that crowd was amazing. I fucking loved it. Gave me that Hogan Rock vibe from WrestleMania. And when Bryan Danielson, did that interview recently, and he said that WWE and Vince McMahon doesn't want him to do the level that he knows he can do, you saw that tonight. You know, sure, the Snapdragon suplex on the rampway, you know, had a little bit of people being a little bit nervous of that. Seeing, you know, him get 95 chops and his chest was redder than a newborn baby. I mean, they were physical tonight, and that crowd back and forth. I mean, you saw Bryan Danielson hit moves that we haven't seen him do in years and years and years. I tell you, it's such a little small moment tonight, but I wish AEW would utilize those corner ring post cameras a little bit more. When Daniel Bryan was on the middle rope with Kenny Omega, and I think Kenny Omega hit the avalanche dragon suplex, and Bryan Danielson was just out of it on the middle rope, and they had the ring post camera right in his face. And Kenny Omega, I'm telling you, that camera shot, they got to utilize that more, man, because that just, it's such a small little thing, but I freaking loved it. I was looking for screenshots. I couldn't find one. But they tore the house down. And I tell you what was even better about it, and I wrote this earlier tonight. Oh, by the way, yeah, there's a CM Punk ice cream wrapper. That'll accompany the two shirts for the contest later. I'm down to two. So for my friends out there that sent me a bunch, I could use a little refill, please. We give them out on the shows, obviously. By the way, a bunch of you out there asked about the Daphne license plates. Now, what I was thinking of doing is getting a bunch made up and then not selling them, but Daphne's family wanted contributions to this Concussion Institute in Boston. What I'm thinking of doing is getting a bunch made up, and anyone out there who makes like a certain donation to the Institute and shows me proof of it, I send you a plate. So what the hell is Twix talking about? He never got one. I never got more than one plate made up. What are you talking about? You always throw these curveballs that you got. If I was bald, it'd be like, I'm almost bald. Got a haircut. I got them all cut. But so we may do that. A bunch of you asked about that. So, but anyway, Danielson and Omega tonight tore it up. And the one thing, as I'm watching, it was a 30-minute time limit. And I'm not taking credit for it because a ton of you Monday night chatted about it also. Other podcasters said it too. We wanted this to be a time limit draw because it was a non-title match. I know a lot of people on the surface, oh, it's a non-title match. That means that Bryan Danielson wins and that leads to a title shot. That's more of the WWE formula. I mean, let's think about it. For real, how many of you out there see a champion get pinned on WWE television in a non-title match, and then everybody complains on social media, why is the champion getting pinned in a non-title match? I'm sick and tired of seeing champions pinned, and that's the way to set up the match on the pay-per-view. What an uncreative thing to do. All right, do a time limit draw. Give me more. I can't believe 20,177 fans tonight in unison didn't chant, five more minutes, five more minutes. And I think the reason, because I didn't want any run-ins. I wrote tonight, please, don't give me any elite run-ins. Let the match complete without bullshit. And we got that tonight. Yes, we had interference afterwards. It's not interference once the match is over. But I truly believe for the people that really got angry that they sent Adam Cole and the Young Bucks out there anyway, they obviously were stopped by Christian Cage and Jurassic Express to set up the match on Friday, which is smart. But I also believe the reason why they had the Young Bucks and Adam Cole go out there was to take the focus off of the fact the match just ended. Because look, people have tons of screenshots on Twitter right now of Bryan Danielson trying to put the label lock on Kenny Omega after the time limit, you know, was called. And if you look at the backdrop, you look at the first couple of rows, 90% of the fans have this look on its face like, they were not happy, but they were wrestling fans. They weren't complaining about the match. In fact, Jim Ross said the opposite tonight, that I love when this is brought up because it's so true. When the fans are cheering, when Kenny Omega was hitting some moves and Kenny Omega kicking out of a two, Jim Ross said the reason why the fans are cheering is because they don't want the match to end. And a little remark like that makes a whole world of sense, and it's not said enough in matches. They don't want the match to end. And we did get Fight Forever chance tonight, but a lot of the fans wanted to see Bryan Danielson win, obviously. Bryan Danielson, my God. I don't care. I mean, I do care, but the guy's main event at WrestleMania's. You had the Yes Movement, and when the Yes Movement took over Raw that time, I mean, that shit is fond memories. Tonight is gotta be in Bryan Danielson's top five. That reaction that he got tonight, you know what was funny about it? I think if Arthur Ashe Stadium held 30,000 fans tonight, I think they could have very well gotten close to 30,000 fans. And I'm not saying that to kiss the ass of AEW. You know, I'm just saying it like facts. I could tell you, in New York City, in Queens, on Jackson Heights, I know Manhattan gets all the attention, but Jackson Heights on Roosevelt Avenue, they were spray painting on the sidewalks and spray painting on the gates of a couple of businesses, AEW Dynamite Grand Slam. I think the businesses, I think they allowed it. I'm not trying to say that anybody did it without, you know, they just spray painted people's property. I'm not saying that. You saw a couple of people online spray on their lawns. You know, I mean, obviously not everybody has a perfect cutout of AEW. So you look at it, it looks like a little kid like drawing letters for a lemonade stand. I mean, but still, it had that much of a buzz. It had that much of a buzz. I could only imagine how interesting it would have been if it was a Friday night or a Saturday night. Now, yes, Rampage is Friday night. And it's going to be really interesting, again, to see what how they're going to do this with time. Because remember, Rampage starts at 10 o'clock Eastern. So they're going to start Rampage live without a tape delay. That show's going off the air midnight to 12:30 a.m. By the time the fans leave that building and everything else, you're talking 2 a.m. So I'm curious if we're going to see any type of tape delay at all. I don't know. I never said Super Bowl, Darren, but thank you. You know, you got your shout out for tonight. And Darren's a big supporter of the show. So I'm just messing with him. He's good people. But that crowd was into this match, and that was not fake. That was not piped in. That was not people trying to get cheap heat during commercial breaks before a match. You didn't have like little women with little skimpy outfits trying to rile up the crowd. You know, Tony Khan came out before the show started and thanked everybody for tuning in. But that crowd, these are people that feel that they are being given what they want. And I think, look, I'm a wrestling fan through and through. I love WWE. I love AEW. I love wrestling, period. Sure, every promotion has its crap. There's good, there's bad, there's awful. But I will even say this. The big problem with WWE, more than anything else, is because they are episodic television, because they're a billion-dollar company, because to them it's a marathon, not a sprint. That's fine. If you're going, if you're insistent and you believe that so-and-so is the future of the company and so is this, all right, that's fine. But in the midst of the 4 years of Roman Reigns that every majority of people were pissed off about, in the midst of all of that, you had Vince McMahon say, "We're listening." You had Stephanie say, "We're listening." I don't know if Shane McMahon said it, but you had several times. In fact, I think he did say it one time that they were going to listen to the fan. "We're going to shake it up. We're listening." No, you're not listening. Fans, you say it once, they take your word for it. When you don't do it and you still push agendas anyway, and then you start manipulating crowd reactions and, you know, we're not going to get into that tonight. You know, you do turn off a lot of fans. It's clear that the demographic for AEW TV is completely different than WWE. It's when I said 3 years ago, and I know some people are sick of me saying that, 3 years ago I said AEW be the first millennial promotion. You look at that crowd, the majority of it is millennials. Majority of it. And millennials, I'm not even saying this as criticism, but millennials want to be catered to. They want to be pandered. They want to post the comments to get the 500 likes. They'll write the overdramatic stuff. "I'm literally crying right now. I got chills up my spine. This is epic, amazing, unbelievable." They could get laid and they wouldn't have that much excitement. There are a lot of people out there that you have to go over the top and go overboard in order to get their attention. It's like for a lot of millennials, it's like a child with a baby bottle. WWE, like I said, puts the Bloodline versus the New Day to open up Raw. It's like a baby. You could give the baby a bottle for 18 hours straight, just sucking on that bottle, drinking that warm vanilla milk for 18 hours straight. The minute you pull the nipple out of the mouth, whine, complain, cry, diss, angry, spit, all this other stuff. So you got to keep the nipple in the mouth at all times. And AEW is doing a great job of keeping the nipple in the mouth. And I'm not saying this really to criticize. I'm just bringing up the point that you look at the demo. The funniest thing that I read this week about news, I brought this up a week or two ago, that NXT has a problem. They have a problem. Their biggest demographic is 50 and over. And again, I don't focus on demographics, but I had to make a point there. When you're doing developmental, do 50-year-olds and over want to watch developmental? I don't think so. I mean, some wouldn't mind, but that's not going to be your biggest audience. So what happens to NXT when their biggest demographic, 50 and over, stops watching the show? So that's common sense. So what do I read this week? Oh, Vince McMahon is focusing on the younger demographics. Captain fucking Obvious is out there. Captain Obvious is out there. AEW is paying attention who is in the crowd. Sting does an awesome job at 62 years old. If that crowd was poo-pooing on it, you would not see Sting doing what he's doing in anywhere near this capacity. They are paying very close attention who is buying the merchandise, who is pleased, who feels that they are given. You know, I watch tons of people out there, you know, fans, journalists, podcasters, people. They address Tony Khan like boss. And I'm like, none of these people work for him. You know, and it reminds me, like, Paul Heyman is God. You Mick Foley is God. All right, you know, that's nice fan friend. But these people are actually talking to Tony Khan like he's a boss. And Tony, they're not stupid. AEW knows exactly who's buttering their bread. Which, smart business. Smart business. So keep that in mind with the rating tonight, because a lot of people felt that the opening quarter of Dynamite tonight was going to be the biggest rating of the night. Hell, they went two quarters. They actually went more than two quarters. So they opened up with Bryan Danielson versus Kenny Omega. It went to a draw. And before the fans could chant five more minutes and get a little bit annoyed at the draw outcome because they wanted Bryan Danielson to win, you send out the Young Bucks, you send out Adam Cole, they super kick Bryan Danielson. Christian Cage, Jurassic Express come out there, they get into a little brouhaha, and we go to commercial. So Kenny Omega say ain't going to be no rematch. Oh, yes, they will. Might be full gear. 316 MMA, if you think it's going to be 1.9 million in the ratings, then use that as your prediction. I will give my prediction later on. We had CM Punk cut an interview tonight, and he said he's glad that he's not wrestling on Dynamite, because how do you top Bryan Danielson versus Kenny Omega? Excellent point. He said it's been a long time that he has wrestled in New York City. And it's been a long time that professional wrestling was in New York City. And, man, CM Punk, you know, I mean, we know his history being on the mic. The one thing that CM Punk was great about tonight is some people feel CM Punk, Team Taz, Powerhouse Hobbs, they want CM Punk to wrestle the elite, the creme de la creme. And guess what? CM Punk made everybody feel tonight like, you know what? They want to see him kick the shit out of Powerhouse Hobbs. Powerhouse Hobbs is extremely freaking talented. He's got to be one of the biggest future stars that AEW he's got to hang on to. And CM Punk tonight, he is pissed off. He shouldn't be pissed off with that kind of crowd there and everything going on. But he's pissed off at Team Taz. And on Friday, he's going to make Powerhouse Hobbs go to sleep. And when they tried to put him to a table, they should have finished the job, but they didn't. And that was their biggest mistake. And Team Taz Friday is going to get it. By the way, during one of the commercial breaks tonight, a few of you that tuned in live that were there were sending me little videos of Taz coming out to War Machine. Because it was not televised, I don't think AEW would get into any issues. Maybe they licensed the song during a commercial break. I don't think so. I don't think they needed to, because you go to a lot of sports events and the shows or the games have not started yet. You'll just hear loads of, I mean, I'm sure there's probably some licensing involved, but not on the level. Because even Brian Danielson was talking the other day that if he were to use this theme like they did in WWE, like they would have had to pay like $100,000 and they could only use it like 20 times, and some crazy number. And if I was Tony Khan, I wouldn't pay that kind of money. The theme he has now is freaking awesome. So we got Punk versus Hobbs on Friday. MJF versus Brian Pillman Jr. It was an okay match. I think a lot of people felt that this was going to be more, especially with the heat that MJF put on himself by bringing up Methadine Pillman and, you know, ripping Pillman's family tree. MJF wins with Salt of the Earth, kind of teasing a little bit more of Wardlow not being too thrilled. I did see MJF's parents have a sign that they even think MJF sucks. And I think MJF on Twitter today told his mother to go fuck off. Obviously, it doesn't mean that. But MJF, I was a little surprised he didn't cut a promo tonight. I think maybe AEW might have been worried about the ring getting showered with garbage. So he didn't get to cut a promo tonight, but the match was okay. I expected a little bit more, to be honest with you, but whether they followed Danielson Omega or not, I'll get into the Super Chats in a couple of moments. Those who sent them in, thank you very much, as always, my friends. Chris Jericho and Jake Hager cutting a promo, hyping up their match on Friday against Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page. And, you know, they're trying to catch on that fat-faced dipshit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fat-faced dipshit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, with Dan Lambert. So we'll probably, actually, you know what, man? Oh, my God. I just thought about it. Dan Lambert cuts a promo on that New York crowd Friday. That's going to be fucking interesting. I expect 20,000 fans to go, shut the fuck up. I can't, oh my God. If they go vintage ECW, you'll hear some expletives that you don't normally hear in wrestling anymore. So that's for Friday. Cody versus Malakai Black. As I said earlier, you know, Cody is just not over. And, yeah, I see. You know, Cody does these interviews, and a lot of people think he's trying to be like John Cena. You know, they even like think like some of the outfits he wears. It's like I don't know. I don't know how to take it. But Cody saying that he'll retire before he's a heel, he can't dictate how the fans are going to react. Sure, New York might be a special kind of town, but we have noticed quite a bit of dissatisfaction with Cody for quite some time. And like I said, I think the Anthony Ogogo match really put people over the top. Yeah. And it's amazing because, you know, it wasn't that long ago we had the match with Dustin. That was one of the best matches we had seen for that year. Cody could put on phenomenal matches. And I think people are very, very relieved that Malakai Black got the win tonight. But Arn Anderson, man, I don't know where you go right now with Arn Anderson. I mean, nothing against his son Brock, but I still like him closing out an episode of Dynamite. I'm like, come on, man. If that was Make-A-Wish Brock Anderson, I'm sorry for being cold like that, maybe. You know, if he won like a prize, a drawing, you get to close Dynamite. You know, why did he close out Dynamite? And then on top of it, they put him Superstar of the Week. Seriously, I know you got to have confidence about yourself, but I truly believe if I was Brock Anderson and I just wrestled Dynamite and looked, I don't want to say awful, but looked however you spell that, and then you go on social media and everybody is like, the fuck did that close out for? And then you look, AEW puts you Wrestler of the Week. If I was Brock Anderson, I'd look in the mirror and say, I didn't blow anybody to get all this attention. Like, why am I getting all this? That was just awful. Didn't help Brock Anderson, in my opinion. Did not help him. Just like it didn't help Tony Schiavone's son when he put his arms on his legs and they were supposed to be holding him back. And he's just got his arms on his legs like he's going to play Patty Black. Whatever that. So, Cody getting booed out of the building today. Arn Anderson doing his best impersonation of a Weeble Wobble. And 3/4 of my notes, I'm done with. Poison Mist by Malakai Black. Fruit Roll-Up. Fruit Roll-Up. Loved it. I don't like Fruit Roll-Ups all that much, but tonight, exception to the rule. By the way, if you're enjoying tonight's show, I don't ask as much as I used to, but if you're enjoying the show, hit that like button. You'd be surprised how that actually helps recommend the show to others. By the way, if you missed Monday's show with Mish, we had a banger. And the opening, I experimented with some filters and that's all I'm going to say. If you did, just look at this thumbnail. Just look at the thumbnail. Woo! Oh, I have things to say tomorrow about Dark Side of the Ring. I think there's a couple of cracks in their foundation, which we'll get into tomorrow. Next week, Miro defends the TNT Championship against Sammy Guevara. I don't know, man. I don't know. A lot of people are thinking that Sammy may take it from Miro. Interesting. Darby Allin and Sting defeat FTR. Excellent match. I've said this before. One thing is AEW has used Sting beautifully. I still remember, excuse me for a second. I have sparkling water here. LaCroix. I also have regular water here. Oh, tomorrow. Tomorrow. You got to check this out. Last Thursday, I ate the 23-year-old WWF candy and the WCW 23-year-old candy. Well, tomorrow I'm not eating. I don't think I'm going to eat candy tomorrow, old candy, and risk getting sick. But tomorrow, we're going to see what 24-year-old Goldberg toothpaste, or no, 22-year-old. That logo's from 2000. 22-year-old Goldberg toothpaste tastes like, and we're going to beat the shit out of Goldberg. Does that look like Goldberg? What is that? Seriously, Mike sent this to me. Mike from Tennessee. Battling bop bag. Basically what this is you blow it up. It looks like, what was the character from Airplane? You blow it up. I just hope that the hosting is not by the penis area, but you blow it up with air. Okay? Check this out. I'm not kidding. You blow this up with air. It stands 4 feet tall, and you're supposed to put batteries in it. And when you punch it, Goldberg is supposed to talk back at you. It says, it really knows when it's being hit. Authentic wrestler's voice. Three-dimensional arms and head. Bounce back action. One of the toughest contenders to take down. Wow, this may actually put on a better match than Goldberg himself. Here's the phrases. Is that all you got? Ah, I'm the kid. What the fuck is that? Do you remember Goldberg ever saying that? I'm going to rip you apart. Ow. This is Goldberg and I'm going to beat the shit out of this tomorrow, and it's going to talk back to me, and then I'm going to get a screwdriver, and I'm going to blow it to pieces. Seriously. I don't care what it's worth. Mike from Tennessee wanted me to beat the shit out of it live on the show tomorrow. We're going to beat up Goldberg. And then I'm telling you, I'm going to, when it talks back to me, I'm going to blow it up. Hopefully the people upstairs don't get mad. I'm not going to get a knife. I can't be violent on the show, but we'll get a screwdriver. And it'll be like, oh yeah, how's this? And I'm going to fucking burst its bubble. It's going to explode. I want to see Goldberg. Just hopefully I don't get like, I'm going to open this up during the day tomorrow because this thing is 4 feet tall. I don't have a pump at home. I'm not going to sit here on the show and go, I'll be lightheaded. I'll be calling former co-hosts saying, hey, you're late for the show. All right. One thing that AEW has done wonderful with is Sting. When Sting first signed with AEW, I remember all these people ripping it apart. Oh, my God. You remember what happened with him and Seth Rollins? The guy is 60 years old. He can't do it. That's crazy. What the fuck is AEW thinking? And all I remember saying at that time is, you look at Sting's entire career. You look at his entire career. There was never a time that I ever saw Sting in a match or a period of time, and I said to myself, why is this guy out there? He's embarrassing himself. He can't do it anymore. Why is he doing this? Yes, face paint make you look a lot younger. It hides all the wrinkles. It hides the bags. It hides your age. That's why the Missing Link, if he just didn't get too fat, Missing Link at his age looked like he was 30. Face paint does wonders. But we always said, Sting knows his body better than any of us. And if Sting thinks he could go, and his doctors think he can go, and most importantly, Sting still wants to do it, then let's give him the benefit of the doubt. The guy's given us 4 or 5 decades, you know, 4 decades of wrestling, and you got to trust him. And AEW has done a fabulous job letting him do, and Darby Allin as well, man. Darby Allin, seriously, you know, when he first paired up with Sting, you know, it was interesting, but now you see that Darby Allin, you know, could take the focus. When he did the coffin drop onto Cash earlier, everybody's focused on the coffin drop, and, you know, when you need Darby to start banging out some moves to let Sting get a little extra breather and stuff like that, I'm telling you, excellent, excellent. And look, Sting should be in a managerial role. I agree. I agree. But he could still do it at some capacity where it's not embarrassing. You don't feel like your grandfather is out there kicking ass. And, you know, you look at Terry Funk. Terry Funk, when he won the ECW championship in 1997, he was 53 years old. And Terry Funk, even when he wrestled in the mid-2000s, you know, you think of the age, it was hitting 60. We've had a few wrestlers perform at 60 and not do all that bad. I don't remember exactly what Ricky Steamboat's age was with Chris Jericho, but, you know, some people can still do it. And Sting, it's mostly brawls. If you notice Sting, it's mostly brawls. He doesn't have to take back bumps all that much. He takes one once in a while when necessary, but they have done an excellent job with Sting. And now we probably won't see Sting wrestle again for a little bit of time. Main event, Ruby Soho versus Britt Baker with Rebel and Jamie Hayter. And, you know, the crowd was mixed. I mean, this wasn't a Cinderella story for Ruby Soho. I'm not going to lie. I actually wanted her to win the title. Not, and I don't care that she just signed there or anything else. So did Bryan Danielson. You know what I mean? She won a battle royal, got the title shot. You know, I mean, you have the Joker showing up on these casino battle royales. you know, if the Joker wins and it's not somebody in the company, yeah, they should get their title shot. Why not? That's what the whole stipulation is for the match. The match was okay. It seemed like it dragged a little bit. I mean, there were a couple of moves, you know, outside the ring. You know, there's one point where you thought, you know, Ruby's neck, I mean, it just, you got a little concerned here and there. I just did not like that Rebel was out there and Jamie Hayter. Because, man, if you look at, and if we're being honest for a minute, if you pay attention to the ending of that match, when Rebel climbed the apron and Ruby Soho knocked her, supposed to be off the apron, but she decided to hang out in the middle rope. And then Ruby goes to nail Jamie Hayter, and the ref, Aubrey Edwards, just looks the other way for no reason whatsoever. And Jamie Hayter whips Ruby Soho, pulls her down against the rope. You pay attention to Ruby Soho. She's literally like bent down, walking to the other side of the ring. And basically, if she would have talked, she would have said, bring me down, Britt. She's waiting there for Britt to take her down and hit the lockjaw. It was very messy, very messy. Now, Ruby Soho has had a match with Jamie Hayter, actually two interactions with Jamie Hayter that were pretty damn messy. Then we saw Jamie Hayter and Thunder Rosa have a little bit of miscommunication also. I don't know if this is on Jamie Hayter. I don't know. But all I know is that if you really pay attention to Ruby Soho, you know, it's not, I know what some people are going to say, well, she hasn't wrestled for a while, give it a time. Of course I am. Of course I'm giving her time. But you pay attention to this match closely, AEW made the right decision to not have her win right now. Because, you know, Britt Baker has been there from the beginning, and the crowd is into the DMD stuff. They like interacting. I mean, that's obviously, you know, one of the best things you could have with fans, interaction. Indifference is what you never want to have. But in the end, Britt Baker retains her belt. And I paid attention online, and a lot of people like, okay, are the lights going to go off? Is someone going to show up? Is someone going to make their debut? Is someone going to turn? Is this guy? No, they just went off the air. And honestly, that's the way I would have went. You know, they can't be, they have to reel it in a little bit. Bryan Danielson versus Kenny Omega tonight paid the price of admission. I don't think anybody would complain at that. It was an excellent night of Dynamite. You know, the MJF Pillman match, maybe a little less than expected. Sting and Darby Allin versus FTR delivered, as, you know, they should. Didn't have to go too crazy. Ruby and Britt was I don't know. We'll see what you all think. Anyway, let's do the contest. I told everybody I would give you a couple of minute warning. So what I am going to do is I am going to put the chat room on the screen. Not yet, everybody. Not yet. I am going to type a bunch of things. I'm just writing go. It's not ready yet. So again, here's how we do it. Now, for everybody who is on Twitter, Facebook, Twitch, just hop on over to YouTube for a couple of moments and just get in the chat room. And you're more than, don't post it yet. Jay Carlos, I'd love to put your entry yet, but don't do it yet. I'm going to type the word go, capital letters, with some asterisks surrounding it. When you see that and I write go, every comment underneath it is going to be in the contest. We'll let it run for about a minute because, honestly, it should not take you more than maybe 10 seconds to type your prediction. In fact, you should have it typed right now. Just don't hit enter yet. All you have to do is simple. predict what you think AEW's rating is going to be from tonight. And again, my advice, like I said before, is don't be too general about it. And here's the ratings for the last 7 days, which might help you a little bit. NXT did 746,000 yesterday, which I think is excellent. Raw did 1,790,000. Rampage did 642,000. SmackDown did 2,243,000. Impact did 105,000. And last week's AEW Dynamite did 1,175,000 viewers. A lot of people feel that tonight's number will be significantly higher than 1,175,000. So you get the idea. You know, I wouldn't just put like 900. You know, you might want to be a little creative and go 903, 907, 898. Do something like that. That's how you get a better chance of winning. And the first person that is the closest will win. And the prize is any Bryan Danielson shirt. Wow, tongue twister. Any Bryan Danielson shirt from AEW Shop. Also, any CM Punk shirt from AEW Shop. And I'll send you one of these CM Punk ice cream wrappers. Shouldn't put my nose too close to that. Now, actually, I wipe them down. I wipe them down with an alcohol wipe. I usually wipe everything down that I get as gifts. Goldberg's already been wiped down. So that's it. So, all right, I'm going to hit go, and you'll have about a minute to type your entry. And then when I say time's up, then that's it. Tomorrow we'll find out what the rating is. I will replay this episode, and I will see who came closest first, and I'll announce the winner on tomorrow night's show. Are we ready? Are we ready? Get ready. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. Just type it, because I'm going to put time's up in about a minute. I'll share with everybody on audio only some of the choices. We got 1.34 million, 1.23 million, 1,416, 1,423, 1,008. Aces is 0.0. Oh, and by the way, you only enter once. If you put two entries, I take your first one. So I just want to make that clear. If you delete your entry, then it'll be, well, once the show is over, you can't delete it. Maybe you can. But if I go back and watch it and you deleted a comment, and you had more than one entry during this time, then you know, I can't use yours. So trust me, I pretend how I can cheat, and I think of every way you could cheat, and then I use that against everybody out there. So we got Les at 975,000, Mike in Brooklyn, 1,620, Big Baller, 1.3 million, Christian Maxey. We're almost done, everyone. Last chance. Two free shirts and the CM Punk ice cream wrapper. What's the rush? We got to take calls, and I need to get some sleep. I've been up since 6:30 this morning. It's been nonstop all day today. I worked. I ate like a pig. I came home. I shit showered, shaved, watched Dynamite, and I'm here. I have like a lot of sleep to catch up on. So, all right. We're going to start wrapping this up. You all got your entries, so I'm sorry for audio only, but I got to do a 20-second countdown. So 20, 19, 18, 17, 16, 15. Audio only, you can play in the comment section, you know, just for fun. 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. That's it. Time's up. All right. Good luck, everybody. And that's why I put the chat room on the screen. And by the way, if you want to post where you're tuning in from right now, you know, so everybody on the replay can, you know, have to, you don't have to be specific to put addresses and stuff, but if you want to just type like where you're tuning in from, little roll call, little shout out for everybody who's hanging out tonight. We'll take some calls in about 2 minutes, and then we'll take calls for about 20 minutes, and then we'll be done for tonight. So Austin's tuning in from Alabama. Chris L. is in Vermont. Left Twix is in Colorado. Garth is in Oklahoma. Blazing Bolts, Bakersfield, California. 316 MMA's in Michigan. Roger Rubio in Central Cali. King of Games, Oklahoma City. Magnificent Mongo Slade in Detroit. VJ Toronto. Christopher Travers, Ontario, Canada. Charlie Conway from Toronto. Conor McGregor fans from Maine. Big Baller from South Florida. Gabriella Valentin in Pennsylvania. Michael Gonzalez from Uranus. Harris B. from Private Parts Unknown. Sam from Toronto. Gordon in Pennsylvania. Shezzy in Scotland. Christopher Segovia in Maryland. Nero Faye must be sleeping. Benjamin, he's in Israel. Benjamin, Central Texas. Jay Collis from Jersey. Sinister in Detroit. Harris from St. Louis. DX Girl, just shouting out Darren. Wombology in New York. Christopher Travers, Canada. Mike in Brooklyn, from Brooklyn. And, and Marvin Segovia from Maryland. So, all right. Al McCoy from Jersey. All right, let's open the phone lines. Let's open the phone lines. All right, that's better. So, if you are tuning in elsewhere, you could see the numbers on the screen anyway. You don't have to be on YouTube for this. But I'm just getting my program up. There we go. So, 833-366-8686, or you could call 225-366-8669, which is 225-DON-TONY. I will remove the Do Not Disturb, and let's talk tonight about Dynamite. If you want to talk a little NXT, you can, but we could save the other topics for tomorrow. It's tomorrow, we'll be taking calls all night, so. And by the way, next week I will play that ticket seller battle royal that a lot of people wanted to see. I don't remember who I manage in that, you know, ticket seller battle royal, but it's pretty, it's like some of the worst wrestle crap in history. Oh, stupid me. I just took the Do Not Disturb. I turned it on. All right, so now it's off. All right. Hang on. Be nice. I'm in the Windows. I'm sorry, the iPhone Do Not Disturb. Be nice if I go into the phone program. Now it's officially off. So in 3, 2, 1. Hey, you're on. Who's this?
Hi, this is Mark.
Hey, Mark. Good evening.
From Brooklyn.
Hey.
So I want to talk to you about AEW Rampage because it's been, you know, very mediocre, very boring the past couple of 2 weeks ever since they had CM Punk on the show. And, you know, it's like being promoted now as like, it's like AEW's like B-grade show. It's like Dynamite is A, like it's number one, and Rampage is like, it's like, you know, except for this week. I mean, this week, you know, it's going to be a big show. I mean, the Grand Slam, so they're going to have big names on there. But ever since CM Punk appearances, you know, after he came, you know, that night in Chicago and then another time on the show has been just completely, you know, mediocre.
Well,
like not good. Like, it's,
well,
you know.
Well, for Friday, we got the Lucha Brothers and Santana Ortiz teaming up to take on Private Party, the Butcher and the Blade. I expect the Lucha Brothers and Santana and Ortiz to get into it with each other after the match is over. Anna Jay versus Penelope Ford, Chris Jericho and Jake Hager versus Ethan Page of Scorpio Sky, Eddie Kingston and Jon Moxley versus Minoru Suzuki and Lance Archer, Christian Cage and Jurassic Express versus the Young Bucks and Adam Cole. Honestly, if that was, and Christian, excuse me, and CM Punk versus Will Hobbs, if that was an episode of Dynamite, I think everybody would say, wow, that is a killer show. So this Friday, obviously, they're going to have a banger of a 2-hour show. The thing is there's a lot of mixed messages about Rampage. And, you know, I always believed that Rampage should not be the third hour of Dynamite because, first of all, it's a Friday night and you're not going to get crazy-ass ratings on a weekly basis for a Friday night. You know, the idea that you want to have 3 hours of Dynamite, but you don't want to exhaust people to have 3 hours on one night, you know, you're going to get less people tuning in Friday. That is just a fact. Then the problem is when you tease that CM Punk will be on the show or someone else will be on the show and it's pretty much a replay. I'm not saying they did that with Punk, but they did that once or twice where so-and-so is going to be, and it's a repeat of an interview or it's a pre-recorded thing. I just think Rampage should be not the third hour of Dynamite, but you showcase a couple of people that you want to put on Dynamite, but just miss the cut a little bit. You obviously have to have one or two decent matches to draw people to want to buy tickets. They're going to be in a 20,000 seat building. So, you know, you're going to be in a big arena. You're not going to fill it up by just doing lots of dark matches and then do an hour of Elevation. So Rampage is still trying to find its footprint. But a couple of days ago, I compared 5 of the 6 weeks of Rampage to the first 5 weeks of XFL in 2020. And the ratings decline were almost identical. The first week after the first dance, AEW's rating went down 38%. XFL's rating after the first week went down 38%. The second week, AEW went down 43%. XFL went down 43%. So it really, side by side, the down. And the point is, I could go other sports. I could go to TV shows. The breaking in period, the new car smell, you know, the newness factor wears off. And I always said 550 to 750 is or should be Rampage's rating on a Friday night. 550 to 750. I think too many people that are huge AEW fans want it to be bigger than what it is. And some people that are not the greatest AEW fans think that it's a train wreck. I just feel, you know, for 1 hour on a Friday night, it can't be another version of Dynamite or a shorter version of it. Because you can't, in this day and age, you can't just do it in an hour. You just can't.
Well, I mean, yeah, this Friday, as you mentioned, as I know, it's going to be big. But, you know, if AEW Dynamite is going to be just like, I don't know, like I compare it to like, you know, WCW Thunder. It was big in the beginning, and then it just became like a B or C grade show. Then, you know, why watch it every Friday?
Well, the writing, you know, for Thunder was
gonna,
terrible.
If, you know, if they're not going to promote it, you know, as, you know, like, if there's not going to be big names on there, it's just, you know, going to be, I don't know, like, see, throwaway wrestling matches, you know.
Right,
this week, but this Friday is going to be big, but the next couple of Fridays, why should I watch it unless they promote a big-time match on there?
I don't think, see, that's the problem with a lot of wrestling fans. They insist that everything be a big deal. NXT is developing Stars of Tomorrow. And if they don't get big names on the shows, you know, some people get upset at that. You're going to have some shows that are not going to have the biggest stars on there. And that's the only way some people could develop. If some people don't like Rampage, you know, nobody's forcing them to watch it. And just like NXT or anything else, if it's not your cup of tea, you have every right to say, no, thank you. You know, but like I said, Tony Khan, you know, Rampage has got to find its footprint. Friday night, 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. is a whole different animal than 8 p.m. in a midweek. So give it more time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. That's a late time. You know, it's late. So, I mean, you know, the time slot is like a little bit of an issue. But, you know, they should put on better shows. I mean, you know.
I don't think it's been bad at all. I just think.
The last couple of 2 weeks, like, right? Like, right after, like, you know, The Last Dance, and then when CM Punk was on, another episode before the pay-per-view and he wrestled Darby. After that, like, it's become, like, boring to me, you know? CM Punk, you know.
Well, you know what? I mean, if enough fans feel the same way and the ratings keep dropping, then you'll see them amp it up a notch. So, you know, the only way that they're going to amp it up is by the ratings, just like WWE. You know, WWE's not thrilled at some of the ratings that they're getting, so they're trying to get people to tune in. You got Monday Night Football now, so okay. Roman Reigns is not going to tour the UK, as it seems. Okay, we'll put him on Raw. It's, look, if you're not enjoying Rampage right now, I totally respect that, and you have every right to feel that way. I just say, you know, give it a little more time, and maybe it'll start getting your interest again. I'm enjoying NXT right now more than I did a couple of months ago, because now I know exactly what NXT is trying to do, and they have no pressure. So we'll see what happens, you know?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, you know, hopefully, you know, because I'm not going to watch the Rampage after this Friday. Like, you know, if it's going to be like, you know, show, you know, if they're not going to promote like a match that I'm into, I'm not going to watch it. And, you know, and hopefully, you know, the ratings do go down if they, you know, put on mediocre shows, so that they can get, you know, it can get the attention of the fans who are like saying, no, I'm not going to watch this, and the ratings will go down. And then maybe they'll put a CM Punk to have, but CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, and they'll have those big names more on Rampage, you know?
Yeah, well, we'll see. So, time will tell.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right. Mark, thank you for calling and have a great night. I'm glad you enjoyed tonight.
Yeah, I did enjoy tonight. It was great.
Awesome. All right. Don't be a stranger. Be well, my friend.
All right. You too.
All right. Take care, Mark. All right. 833-366-8686 or 225-366-8669. Do not disturb has been lifted. Let's see who's calling in. Good evening. You're on. Who's this?
What's up, DT? It's me, Ignacio.
Hey, Ignacio. Ignacio, what's going on?
Not much, man. How are you?
All right. Pretty good. Pretty good. Pretty fun tonight with Dynamite. Love that crowd tonight. Fun.
I see. Me, so far, I'm doing good. I've just G1 season's here already, and Naito's out the tournament. He suffered an injury. Zack Sabre Jr. basically twisted him like a pretzel so bad that he injured his knee.
Wow.
Yeah, and
amazing.
Yeah, it was that bad. Yeah, that was that bad. And but yeah, so far New Japan's on basically playoff time, and I'm excited as hell.
Yeah.
Because for me as a wrestling fan, I just felt so underwhelmed. Because basically New Japan the whole year has been working with their hands tied behind their back. So yeah. I'm glad they're already in G1 season. So
yeah, sure. I'm telling you, it's good. The remainder of 2021. I mean. There's so much happening that not everything's going to be great, but there's so much that is pretty good that I don't know how anybody can complain. I mean, just enjoy what you enjoy. And if there's other stuff you don't enjoy, you just watch something else instead, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So what'd you think about tonight?
Oh, I don't watch AEW.
Okay. All right.
You see,
let me ask you seriously. I'm not putting you on the spot, but, you know, I always say this every week. You know, AEW did 1.1 million last week, which is half of SmackDown, which shows you that not everybody is an AEW fan. Not everybody is. What is it about AEW that just doesn't interest you right now? Is it just the overall vibe to it? I mean, what is it that just hasn't caught you yet?
Let me say this, DT. In my childhood, as a little kid, I grew up watching WWF Attitude Era, you know, SmackDown and Raw. But mostly, I watched the VHS tapes, and I felt the nostalgia. I was into it. And for me, AEW just doesn't excite me because, A, their booking's all over the place. Two, they are top-heavy as shit. And three, they just rush matches, just throw them on their shows. It's kind of like WCW 2.0. And I know it's controversial. What I just said, but if you think about it, even Bischoff said it. He's like, yeah, I put Goldberg and Hulk Hogan because it was like oh, I got to throw shit against the wall to see if it sticks, because we were losing badly to the WWF.
A lot of people want more long, you know, detailed stories, something that takes a month to set up. You know, look, if it, put it this way, and I think this is probably where you're going with this too. If it was our birthday, watching AEW is us insisting that we eat our cake before we eat dinner. Like, everybody would rather just have cake. You know, like, forget regular food, just give me the dessert. Or if you, if you're a little kid, your mom makes you something that you don't really like. Mama, I want dessert. Well, you can't have dessert until you eat your dinner first. And I think AEW is more of like dessert, instead of taking the time to really develop. I mean, I think the problem for a lot of people out there is, you know, when, let's use Hangman Page, for example. If Hangman Page is going to feud with someone and they just don't put him on TV every week, that's not the same like, oh, well, it took 2 months to build this match. Well, there's a difference between it taking 2 months because you couldn't put this person on TV all that often versus a story that just builds and develops and builds and develops. You could already see that with Bobby Lashley, you know, they're painting the, planting the seeds of Lashley versus Reigns down the line, maybe Lashley versus Lesnar. You might see Drew McIntyre versus Reigns. You're going to see some seeds planted that are going to sprout 2, 3, 4 months from now. With AEW, though, it's more about, all right, you know, the hell with your regular dinner, let's just give you dessert. So,
DT, I was going to say real quick, also WWE, I don't watch it. Like, mostly the WWE and the AEW stuff I see is the YouTube clips, and I rarely watch any of them. And the only thing I see from WWE-wise is the Roman Reigns stuff, and that's pretty much it. Like, when I get home, for example, let's say last week, for example, was on Friday, right? The G1 started. After work, even though it was 2:38, even though the G1 started at 2:30 a.m., I sit up late, and I live in California time. Like,
that's awesome.
And if it makes sense, yeah. And if the story makes sense, I'm like patient. Like, let the story build up, let it marinate. Because, for example, a New Japan tour is like 2 weeks, and then they're off for like 2-3 weeks. That builds anticipation. It's like Jim Cornette says, "How can I miss you if you can't, if you don't go away?"
Right. Exactly. So, no, excellent points, man. And I'm telling you, a lot of people right now are agreeing with you 100%. Not even a question. Mm-hmm. Because that's something that, you know, they get, that's one thing I'm worried about AEW is them burning out, you know, some of these matches a little too quickly. But, you know, only time will tell. But I appreciate you calling in tonight.
I just wanted to ask you one quick question.
Yeah.
My question is, recently, this goes along with the question. So recently, because I work at Amazon, right? Mm-hmm. And I've been working on becoming the best version of myself and being me. So since I've always been, since 2017, I've been a huge fan of the Bullet Club, and I take my Bullet Club shirts to work. And a lot of people are like, "Man, that's cool. What's the Bullet Club?" And I tell them, "Oh, that's a pro wrestling, T-shirt." And lately, I've been seeing, I'm not saying a ton of people, but a little bit more people wearing Bullet Club shirts, even though they're not pro wrestling fans. So my question is, what are your thoughts on Bullet Club's influence on pro wrestling?
A couple of years ago, let me put it this way. It sold so much merchandise. Because of the Deli Man character, I got a spoof shirt, and it was Deli Club. And instead of, you know, the part of the symbols, it was forks and knives. And I got threatened with lawsuits, pro wrestling tees. When I tried to put it in their store, they took it down. I put it in another store. I got a cease and desist. They were selling so many shirts and so greedy about it that it blew me away. I mean, honestly, NWO and Austin 316 shirts are the only other two times for me that I ever saw that kind of, like, just momentum for a shirt. And the Bullet Club shirt is just a very cool-looking shirt. The Bullet Club, I wouldn't say they were on the level of NWO or DX or anything like that, simply because a majority of it has been in Japan. even when you had American wrestlers, a majority of it was in Japan. And a lot of people just, unfortunately, won't take the time to invest in the storylines that go on in Japan. Like, they'll watch AJ Styles versus Okada, or they'll watch Omega versus, they'll watch something like that, or they'll watch some clips here and there, or even when Finn Balor was doing stuff in Japan, but they won't watch on a weekly basis to see why this was put together, why this person is joining, why this person. So it's been a big influence, but I think it would have been much bigger if they would have continued that faction on mainstream TV in the United States. The problem is, maybe AEW should have started 2 or 3 years earlier. Then it would have been really interesting if they had a good working relationship with New Japan. Then we would have really seen if a Forbidden Door was kicked down. But Bullet Club, definitely, definitely huge cult following, and in my opinion, should have been bigger.
Mm-hmm.
That's my definitely. Take on it.
I feel like I became a huge fan of Bullet Club in 2017, and I say that because 2017 was basically the start of me watching New Japan, and the first match I saw was Kenny Omega versus Okada at the Tokyo Dome. And even though I'm not a fan of Kenny Omega anymore now, if I ever saw him in person, I would say, hey, you know what, thank you, man, for introducing me to New Japan. You and Okada killed it. And I remember staying up late to watch that match, and I'm like, man, these guys killed it, and it's amazing. But like I told you before, DT, this Kenny Omega, I don't recognize him whatsoever.
Yeah, he's sports entertainer. Yeah. He delivers, but he's sports entertainer now.
Yeah, I'm like, man, what happened to him? It's like a whole 360. He did like a whole 360.
Yeah.
But yeah, DT, thank you. You have a good night, okay?
You too. Have a good one. Take care. Bye. You know, you'd be surprised how many people get upset when I say Kenny Omega is now a sports entertainer. He's got to be. With the amount of work that he does, especially behind the scenes, he's got to be a sports entertainer. Still could deliver. I mean, him and Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, tore the house down tonight. Good evening, Your Honor. Who's this?
This is Gabriel.
Hey, Gabriel. What's going on?
Hey, I've been a big fan since 2017.
Thank you.
And I've been watching like your old like clips that like got me into it. It's like the funniest video like I ever seen before, right? It was you talking about with Kevin Cass at the time. You were talking about the top 20 scumbags. How you came up with that?
I usually don't think. That's what usually gets me in trouble. Even Monday when I put the bathrobe on and got the big penis nose and did what I did, I literally thought about that 10 minutes before we went live. Usually like top 10s or songs, spoofs, this and that, it usually is like on the fly. I don't think first. And like I said, that probably is what gets me in trouble. It's probably gotten me a lot of hate over the years, but you know, yeah. I don't mean it in any malicious way. It's just having fun, and you know, some people love it, and some people just despise it. I'll never change.
I ain't gonna lie to you. I love it, man. I still watch it to the day. That don't always have me rolling and stuff like that. And like, if you have to do it again, would you change some people up if you have to like do it over again?
Well, I don't know. As I get older, you know, I have different views about different things. And, you know, some things that I've said in the past, I regret. Some I look back and I'm like, I can't believe. But I don't think I would change anything. No. Because at the time, it was what it was. But no, I don't think I would change anything. I probably would have tried to do a little better job, a little bit more in the quality department. But, you know, it's just, I try to be creative in here, but I probably should have dedicated more time in the presentation.
Yeah, it was funny. Don't get me wrong. It was all funny and cool. I knew where you were coming from. I knew you was like joking with it and all that. It was like kind of cool. It was funny. And I was just like, I always thought this whole time, like years-wise, I always thought like, man, would he like put like this wrestler and said, this person, like how everybody was going in on you with the number one, how you had like number one pick. Now I was just like thinking like, would you like put like a different wrestler and this and that on it. It was just kind of cool to me. It was like funny.
Yeah.
I know where it's come from.
I'm glad. I mean, as long as people enjoy it, puts a little smile on their face, that's all that matters. I mean, honestly, yeah, that's all I care about.
Yeah, that made my day, man. Like,
I'm glad.
I've really been a big fan. I'm not going to try to keep on the phone for this long.
No,
it's
okay.
I always wonder that, and like that's like really one of my like top five things. I ain't going to lie to you, man. Top five, man. It was just mad cool outside the box to think about. Like, how would you think? I said, you one man come up with that, but it's like real funny, though.
Yeah.
It's like some funny how you come up with that. Like, it was like real cool because Kevin Castle was getting on you. Come on, man. Number one, man. He's not a wrestler, man. I don't really have you laughing because it's like a good build-up. And then, like, you put a dude not in wrestling, but I understand where you're coming from, though.
Yeah.
Like, it was, like, all cool. It was all cool. Like, nah, but, like, I think for all the stuff you've been doing and all that, like, you really, sometimes, like, it was days, like, you made me, like, always can't wait to wait for what you're going to say next.
Yeah.
And, like, you come out like a cool person. Like, keep everything up. Keep it up.
Thank you.
I remember when I first watched when you did this, when you first did the YouTube thing, when you, like, put your face out there and all that. I watched your first episode on that during, like, last year. You know what I mean? Like, it was, like, a cool thing. Yeah, it's like, a cool thing. Like, keep it up, though.
Yeah, thank you. I'm not going anywhere,
no problem.
So I appreciate it. Hopefully we'll have some more fun moments, you know?
Yeah. Can't wait, man.
Have a good night. Thank you for the compliments. Right. I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right, no problem.
Be well, my friend. Take care.
All right, you too.
I appreciate that, man. Seriously. You know, wrestling's always been an escape for me. And I've had some dark moments in my lifetime, and not every day is all that spectacular. But, you know, wrestling and friends and laughing is always seemed to be a good medicine for me. So that's what I try to do. Like, some people don't like the ultra PC DT. Like, oh, you soft now. Ah, man, and just, you know, I've watched close friends of mine die. I had two cancer scares. My mother and father have been split open. You know, and they're not doing all that great. I've seen people die from COVID, get sick from COVID. I've seen people's lives get turned upside down for various bullshit reasons. Like, what am I going to do? I'm going to feel better by whining and complaining. That's why even with this Gabby Petito tragedy that happened, people kept asking me, oh, you're going to talk about it? I'm like, no. They're like, why not? I said, because. I said, it's fucked up. But... You know, if Gabby Petito and her fiance or boyfriend, whatever, would have looked different, probably would have got very little coverage. And right away, I see people jumping on me like, oh, what the fuck does race have to do with it? And I said it yesterday on Patreon. I said, no, race had nothing to do with it. You're the one that decided to make it a black thing. No, if Gabby Petito would have looked ugly, fat, black, or different, it could have been anything. If they wouldn't have looked like Hollywood storybook couple, they would have gotten very little press. Go do a Google search of women who were YouTubers that were murdered and go see how much press they got. For some reason, you'll see a little pattern. They're not all this cute cheerleader. And it's not Gabby's fault. She shouldn't have had to die. But, you know, I'm not going to go out of my way and do podcast and blog and write all this stuff. It's a tragedy. And I hope if the boyfriend did it, he gets eaten alive by an alligator. But, you know, let's also be honest here. You know, people, you know, news reporters and family and friends and this and that keep writing about it, fine. When I see these people tweeting about it 5, 10, 20 times, why don't you do it when Gabby's name is, you know, Julia or, you know, Leanne or something like that? Back to wrestling. Oh, I got to do super chats. All right, we got to put this Do Not Disturb on for a minute. We got to do Super Chats. So nice. I get to shout him out twice. Joe McGee. Show was great crowd in his section. Showing a lot of love for your boy Green Hook tonight. Really? I know Taz came out to War Machine, which got some people interested tonight. Look, I don't have anything against Green Hook. I think Taz and Hook and AEW realize that Hook has just got that look that you just want to punch in the face. I'm sure the guy is a real nice guy in real life. Maybe he's a prick. I don't know. But Hook just looks like a guy you just want to punch out. You know what I mean? And honestly, if that's the way they're portraying him, and then he's probably doing his job big time. So, yeah. I mean, I'm glad you had a great time tonight. For everybody, my homeboys that all went tonight, I hope you all had a fabulous time. Some of you are going on Friday as well. Some of you are trying to change my mind and go Friday too, since I'm not doing a show Friday night. People ask me, DT, are you going to do a Rampage live watch along or a recap Friday? I thought about it and I've decided, no, I will talk about it on Saturday for the Don Tony Show. We'll do pay-per-view predictions Saturday also for Extreme Rules. But some of you are trying to get me to go to Rampage Friday night, so I might go. I might go. If I go, I'm just going to, you know, buy a ticket, hang out, you know, and that's it. So we'll see. Because, look, Friday's card is stacked. Friday's card is pretty stacked. I mean, like I said, you put that card on Dynamite, I think people would love it just as much. But thank you for that super chat, Joe, and I'm glad you had a great time tonight. Much love. King of Games. Do I think CM Punk should get the win on Friday? Absolutely. Absolutely. Not even a question. There is no way CM Punk, you know, look, sometimes we overthink wrestling. CM Punk hasn't had a match in 7 years on regular TV. You have New York crowd, rabid crowd, paying decent money to go to this show. There ain't no way CM Punk is losing on Friday. You might have a little interaction with him and Ricky Starks afterwards. It'd be interesting if Hook eats a go to sleep too, but I don't think CM Punk loses on Friday. I don't even think there's any chance whatsoever, and he shouldn't lose, in my opinion. So, but thank you for that super chat. Sean KB, thank you again. You know, if you're on Twitter, DM me. Let me know who she is. I'm very curious, you know, because like I said, I don't, I'd be honest, I don't reach out to people either, you know, but when I see people organizing stuff, see, that's the difference here. If people were just going to the show also, all right, I could see why some people wouldn't get in touch with me, but when I see people organizing stuff and, you know, these are the same people that for years and years and years, oh, we all got to get together, we got to get together. It reminds me when I was doing the indie stuff. I did... How many shows did I do? I did, what, 70 indie shows? 70. And I had quite a few co-hosts over those years. And, you know, after all that stuff, you know, I would see people say, oh, how come you never got together with this person? Or how come you never met this person? How come you never met this person? I'm like, wait a minute. All these people were always invited to my shows. They just chose not to come. It's like, you know, when you don't want to get together with someone and once you realize that that person it can't go, then you're like, oh, man, I wish you would have went. I was going and this and that. You know, a lot of people say that stuff, but they don't mean it. So, but, yeah, let me know who she is. SRH John 07 loved tonight's Dynamite. Fun show, man. Fun show. I truly believe every single person that attended that show went home happy. And that's all you want. That's all you want to do. And it's infectious. It's infectious. Not every town, not every state, not every venue is going to have the energy like it did tonight. But, you know, not always misery loves company. You know, positive vibes is a little infectious too. And I think this momentum continues for AEW for quite some time. For quite some time. Don Tony, I should have realized. I should have realized when I sort of blanked because they used that in the name. It's all good. Thank you for the 99 cents, though. I haven't figured out a way to block 99 cent centers, the 99ers, but that's all good. Thank you for your dollar. Shout out to Mark Anderson. And yes, I like this shirt. If anybody wants this shirt, let me know. I don't remember who gave it to me. And I got to look. I got to look because I have most of my email saved when people have sent me stuff. So I got to see where I got this from. It might be Etsy, or I can't remember that other printing company out there, but it's one of those. But if anybody out there is really interested, I'll be more than happy to do a little research. Oh, Wombology, I get trolls like that every show. You know, these are bitter, very bitter people. Like I said, I truthfully believe that some people didn't invite me to come down and hang out tonight because they thought that maybe, you know, a lot of people would like, oh my God, DT, holy shit, is it? And then they just wanted the attention all for themselves. There's a lot of people that are like that. A lot of people that are like that. It's better I stood home tonight. Hang out with all of you. Have a fun recap. Take a couple of calls. Tomorrow night, 10.05 p.m., we'll be right here again taking loads of calls. So if you didn't get in tonight, tomorrow we have 2 hours to take calls and talk whatever. I am so, I don't want to say wiped out, but I am so drained, but for the right reasons, drained for the last 6 weeks, 8 weeks of wrestling, that tomorrow will be refreshing to just sit back. And I think we're going to probably take calls all night long. And you all dictate the conversations. You want to talk NXT, you want to talk Raw, Extreme Rules, AEW, things you like, dislike. You want to talk personal. It doesn't have to be just wrestling. So tomorrow we'll just open the floodgates with calls. So if you want to tune in, we'll have a fun show. Eddie Valentino, once again, he was at Arthur Ashe tonight. And yeah, we'll meet up, man. We got the big event. You know, I want to shout out AJ Moore, you know, who does some of my artwork in the background. AJ Moore, he is going to be at the big event this year. I think it's in, what, November? I'm going. So if any of you are in my neck of the woods, you know, a year and a half ago, you know, Mish and I went to the big event and I got to meet some of you for the first time. We hung out and had a great time. So, yeah, I'm going to the big event this year. So I'm telling you all now, I'm not waiting for people to invite me. I'm inviting all of you. I am there. And I'll be hanging out. I don't know if I'm going to get a table, but I will definitely be there. So you're all invited. And there's some big names that are going to be there. We'll talk about that tomorrow. But yeah, if you're in my neck of the woods, Eddie, big event, big event. November 13th. That's it. Serve said it. November 13th. Serve, who's on? Who's announced for it already, if you don't mind? Thank you, Sal. Earlier, he let everybody know about the Guess the Ratings contest. I wish everybody good luck, you know, who participated. Does anybody know who's been announced for the big event? Because there's some big names on there. There's like an eight-second delay. So, and in fact, you know, if anybody out there, I did this a long time ago with Brock Lesnar, Shawn Michaels, Batista. You know, 20 years ago, I was involved with a lot of autograph signings. And I used to, you know, people that wanted autographs, they would, I don't know if we used PayPal at that time, but they would send me money. And then when I did the autograph signing, I would be like, hey, Brock, could you sign this for this person, this person? Yeah, no problem. So yeah, if you think I'm lying, just Google in parentheses, Anthony DeBlasi, and then in parentheses, Video Game Central. And you'll see all the autograph signings that I was involved in 20 years ago. So, AJ Lee is going to be at the big event. So I will be meeting AJ Lee. Malakai Black will be there. Kenny Omega will be there. So most of the AEW roster will be there. Okay. So, hey, come to the big event in the middle of November. You know, we'll hang out. You get to meet AJ Lee. You get to meet Malakai Black, Kenny Omega, a lot at AEW roster. And, yeah, it'll be pretty cool, man. So I think we're going to wrap this up. I think it's time for me to go to sleep. So I hope you all enjoyed tonight's episode. Fun recap. Had some great discussion tonight. Again, if you missed this show, even if you're not the biggest AEW fan, if you just want to watch a fun show with some tremendous energy by the fans, just watch Bryan Danielson versus Kenny Omega. That was not a fake crowd tonight. And I'm not saying it because they're in New York, but that was not a fake crowd tonight. That was a crowd of 20,000 wrestling fans that truly clicked with the people that they were watching in the ring. It was fun. It really was. And there's not anything that I could knock about it. And this is going to lead to a, you know, future match between the two. And we'll see where it goes. But, hey, man, Darren, I know it's only one match, but 30-minute match, free TV, it's good enough for me. So that's 25%. That's one quarter of Dynamite. So everyone, have a great night. Much love. On the way out, if you enjoyed the show, hit that thumbs up. If you didn't like it, hit the thumbs down. You know, just be, you know, interactive and post your comments in the comment section. Tomorrow around 4 p.m., we should get the AEW rating, and I will go replay this and see who was closest, who posted the first prediction that was closest, and you'll win the two shirts and the CM Punk ice cream wrapper. So those CM Punk cards that I have, they haven't been printed by Upper Deck yet. Once those ship out, I will start giving those away on the shows. I know a lot of people are trying to get their hands on there. I was very tempted to put a bunch on eBay and get 40, 50 bucks a piece. I paid $5 a piece. I told all of you, they just put the Daniel Bryan presale today. So if you missed out on the CM Punk presale, you might want to get the Daniel Bryan one. I think they might have upped the price a dollar. I think it's $5.99 instead of $4.99. But buy a couple. I guarantee you within a week or two, you'll be able to put it on eBay for 30 bucks, 40 bucks presale. That's what the CM Punk cards are going for right now. I bought 75 of them, and I paid $5 a piece. Now I could get $40 a piece if I want to. Why? And I know what some of you are going to say, DT, why are you not selling them? Honestly, because I've been on eBay for over 20 years, and my feedback is 100%. And I don't believe those CM Punk cards are worth $40 a piece. I think the demand for it has caused the price to go up that high. I think realistically that CM Punk card will probably be worth about $15. What I don't want to have happen is sell a bunch of those cards for $40, $45, $50 a pop. And then when Upper Deck releases them, the value drops to $5 or $10. And I know people are going to post negative feedback saying, oh, this guy ripped me off. He sold me a $50 card, $10 card for $50. Nobody broke your fingers to pay that money. You're the one that paid that money, not me. I just don't want to deal with bullshit like that. I'd rather just give them away here on the show. And, you know, if the value does go up quite a bit, cool, you know? So speaking of AJ Lee, I still haven't put it away yet. Yeah, this card is worth a pretty penny. This is like, I don't know if this is a rookie card, but yeah, that's how. Oh, by the way, if you're looking for an AJ Lee autograph, if you go to the big event, expect her to sign it like this. Expect just a scribble A and a scribble J. She might sign it April. I don't know. All right, everybody, I'm out of here. Have a good night. I'll see you tomorrow, 10.05 p.m.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.